So my name is Allison Mixner. I am the Director of Healthcare Solutions at Mobile Commons. Mobile Commons is a software technology system that manages mobile communications. Much of our product is centered around text messaging, which is what we're going to talk about today for the next 20 minutes or so. My bio is pretty short. I've been working in the healthcare industry for about 13 years. I don't have any fancy letters next to my name like all these nice people up here, but I have been working within healthcare mobile technology for going on 6 years now, so quite a bit of time in what is still considered a new and emerging technology for a lot of healthcare organizations. So what are we going to talk about today? First, we're going to talk about why text messaging can be a very optimal way to reach every population, but specifically targeted populations that you might be looking to reach. I'm going to go through just kind of an overview of some of the clinical data and evidence and sort of all of the NIH-funded grant work that's going on here in 2015. And then we're going to go into what I think will be really kind of an interesting end to our presentation today. Is we're going to go through a couple different what we call use cases based on healthcare outcomes. And so the way that I've put this together is we're going to talk about a clinical intervention, and then I'm going to talk about a case study, a real-life case study. So I think it'll give you a really good idea of sort of what other folks are finding as far as outcomes are concerned with this communication. And then we're going to summarize everything at the end of the talk today. All right, so why is text messaging optimal? Why are so many people using it? First of all, every phone can send and receive a text message, right? My grandma has the old school flip phone. She knows how to text. I'm waiting for her to be on Facebook, but thank God that hasn't happened yet. That's why I'm happy she doesn't have a smartphone. And then the other thing too is that there's an interesting stat that there are more mobile devices than people in the US today. So the thought is if you're not texting people where they're at, or at least communicating with them in some way, you're probably not reaching them. So this is the statistic that stood for quite a number of years. 99% of all text messages are open, so you'll be hard-pressed to find any other type of communication that will deliver that type of open rate. We think of email, we think of people answering phone calls, things like that. The average text is read and then responded to within around a minute and a half. So you also get that really quick response. So if you're asking someone to answer a question or provide you with a piece of data, you can expect to get it very rapidly, right? And I'm sure if somebody's text message went off right now, we'd all be looking at our phones, right? There's a little bit of a Pavlov's dog thing that goes on. The other thing that's interesting that I did want to mention, because I get this question a lot, is what about mobile apps? Right, so this is just a stat that's outside of healthcare. This is just in general. Mobile app retention after 3 months post-download is only 17%. That statistic, we believe, is a little bit lower in healthcare, unfortunately. So there's still a long way to go there, I think, as far as usage. This is Pew data, which I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with. So we know our young adults are texting like crazy, right? Ages 18 to 29, widely over-indexed. I think the average is 212 text messages per day that this group is sending. So a lot of texting going on. Interestingly enough, the fastest growing group of text messaging users are those aged 50 to 65. So that's something that a lot of people don't realize. The usage is very high. So certain demographical, socioeconomic, populations will over-index, but ultimately, text messaging can reach everyone, regardless of whoever they are. This was an interesting study that came out of PricewaterhouseCoopers, I believe last year in 2014. And so they pulled 1,000 healthcare patients ages 31 to 40. And as you can see, I'm not going to go through every statistic, but most of them are kind of screaming for their information to be sent via the mobile device. So 86% want to communicate with their healthcare providers via mobile, whatever that looks like. And then chronic health condition management also comes up very high as well. Okay, so now we're going to move into talking about some of the clinical data and the evidence of text messaging in healthcare outcomes. Text messaging is hands down the most studied communication channel in healthcare today. There's over 2,000 peer-reviewed articles just here in the United States that have been published on the effectiveness of text messaging in health. And by far and away, the most studied use case is medication adherence. So you'll find more of those studies than really any other type of use case. Many of them are randomized controlled, so a lot of it's very good data, and most of the studies are funded through the NIH. We also see some funded through the CDC, and then, of course, private institutions as well. So if anybody is interested in looking up any of these studies, you might want to jot this down. mhealthevidence.org is a really fantastic website where you can put in text messaging and pretty much any type of outcome. So if it's diabetes management or, you know, HIV population, it'll come up with all the different studies that have been published. It's a really, really nice search tool that we use a lot. And all of these studies were published between 2013 and 2015. And so when you look at how the studies break out, right, like I said before, medication adherence is usually the most common. But then second, very close, at almost about 25% of those studies, is chronic disease management. And then you're going to see mental health. Personally, I've seen a huge growth in this. I would say probably the past 12 to 15 months, a lot of organizations are looking to utilize text messaging to improve mental health outcomes. A lot in the teen and sort of young adult population as well, which goes into, you know, that market penetration that we talked about before. So looking at those chronic conditions, which was about 23% of the studies, how did those break out? HIV population, just due to all the funding that's out there, is still remaining number one. And then we have diabetes, heart disease, cancer, which we're seeing a big uptick in as well, blood pressure and asthma. So this is a really great paper. I'm sure some of you out there have seen it. This is what is called an environmental scan, and it was published by Health and Human Services in May of 2014. For those of you that don't know what an environmental scan is, it's really the gold standard of looking at a technology as far as an intervention is concerned. So what they did was they looked at 60 individual interventions, and the years published were between 2009 and 2012. So it was a very big time for a lot of these studies to be published. It was a sort of big chunk where a lot of good data was coming. And most of the studies focused on health promotion and disease prevention. So what were the findings? The study reported significant improvements for smoking cessation, diabetes self-management, and asthma specifically. Text messaging reminders, so medication adherence, appointment reminders, things like that, significantly improved patient compliance. So that's sort of an important bullet. And quote, most of the interventions had a positive effect on increasing patient awareness of knowledge related to health risks and behaviors. Okay. So now we're going to talk about some of the use cases, an intervention paired with a case study. So I think you guys will find this really interesting. So smoking cessation. This is a paper that, it was back in 2012. There's been a lot of smoking cessation interventions that have come out since then. But this review included five randomized or quasi-randomized clinical trials with at least 6 month outcomes data. And so what's so interesting about smoking cessation is that all of the data across the board shows double the quit rate. It'd be hard-pressed to find a paper out there that doesn't really show that type of statistic as an outcome. So it really is consistent across a lot of the interventions. National Cancer Institute, which I saw is upstairs. So if you guys have any questions for them, I know they're up in the exhibition hall. They are a Mobile Commons client, and smoking cessation program that they run is unbelievably successful. So basically what it is it's targeted around a user's quit date. So they've done a lot of research, and until somebody's really ready to set a quit date, chances are they're not going to quit smoking. So a requirement of being part of this program is to set a target quit date. Until you're ready to do that, you get a whole different set of messages. So 14 days before that quit date, there's a series of messages that come, and then it's followed by 6 weeks of motivational coaching type communications to make sure that people stay smoke-free. And what's interesting, before I move on to that, there's quite a few iterations now. So what started as one program is now multiple programs, multiple countries. It's grown significantly and exponentially. So they have one targeted for teens, one targeted. It started mostly around new moms, so women that found out they were pregnant or post delivery and wanted to stay smoke-free. And then, of course, we have multiple languages. And then we have one for military veterans. So I did just want to show and quickly talk about this. What this is just a text message flow that comes from smoke-free text. And so one of the things I really want to, you know, press upon you guys is that the personalization of these text messages is hugely important to the outcomes. So it's in direct correlation to how successful someone's going to be when they actually quit smoking. So not only is NCI sending out great information to the patient, they're also gathering a wealth of data about these people. So the program continues to change based upon the outcomes that they receive. And so this is just a flow, asking how your mood is today. I mean, when you quit smoking, it's tough, right? It's a really, really difficult sort of bad habit to break. And so depending on, you know, how you're feeling that particular day, you get a different response. And all of this is automated instead of ahead of time. The next is a study that was published in the Health Informatics Journal in 2009, and this investigated this whole personalization piece that I just spoke about. And so their study group was African American women looking to help them either lose weight or maintain a healthy weight, depending on the particular patient. And so the research staff created a lot of general messages. And then the women were asked if they would like to use the messages that were created or if they wanted to create their own content, which was really cool. It's rare that you find a study that does that. So 44% of the women that were part of the text messaging arm actually chose to create their own messages, which is really interesting. So it was tips on healthy eating, physical activity, drinking water, things like that. So after the intervention was over, the text messaging group actually received a study via text, and then there was also another arm that received no text messages. The commonality between the two groups were the in-person coaching at the beginning of the study. And so 96% of the women who received the text messaging arm said that they read the messages, right? So sort of that 96-99% open rate still remained true throughout this survey and this group of women. And so within that group of text messaging arm, 79% indicated that the text helped them better towards their weight loss goals, so whatever that was, whether the content was created by them or whether the content was created by the study group. In a separate telephone survey, so those who didn't get the text messages, they were asked a simple question, you know, do you think it would be helpful if you did receive texts? And 69% of those women said that they would have liked to receive some type of motivational information via text. So this is a program that still runs. It's been a very successful program in conjunction with the University of Maryland. And this is their sort of community outreach program, if you will. And this was a FSNE or SNAP ed nutritional program for low-income families in the community. And basically, there was a lot of events that were held at schools. I believe the pilot study, it was 8 or 10 different schools that they went to and looked at. So kids of all ages, right? It wasn't specific, but it was, I think, kids under the age of 12. And so they signed up for just about 2 to 3 text messages per week, so nothing that was too invasive. And it was around community events, any sort of food stand that they might be able to use their cards at, healthy recipes, physical activity, things like that. And so really interesting results. This was also done in a self-reported survey at the end of this program. And so 95% of the parents self-reportedly said they changed their behavior after receiving the texts. And then 86% of that group said they would sign up again. So they were really interested, and it was a really huge benefit to them in achieving their goals around this. A question I get asked all the time is unlimited text messaging program, especially within lower-income populations. This is a few years old, so 81% of parents at this time had an unlimited texting plan. We find the number to hover around about 92%. as far as, you know, making sure that somebody doesn't get charged for these messages. Sometimes that's a cause for concern. And then the other thing that was interesting is that parents were texting back. And they weren't being asked, you know, to provide their feedback. And people were just texting back, this is great, or, you know, I would really like to see this. So it's interesting, you know, as these messages are personalized, people almost feel like they're talking to somebody. And for all they know, they think somebody's sitting in a room firing away these text messages at them, which is not the case. But that's really what you want in order to see the proper outcomes. So this study was done, Columbia University, Mailman School of Public Health. I can't think of exactly what the publication was, but I can get it if anybody's interested. And ran a trial in 2012 that studied whether text messages reminders increased the vaccination rates among low-income pregnant women in New York City. So the intervention group received the weekly text messages about the benefits of the flu vaccine, and it was over a five-week period. And that group specifically were 30% more likely to be vaccinated than the control group. And then a follow-up survey found that, you know, once again, it's around this high 80%, that 83% of the women said they liked the reminders. They didn't find them annoying. They found them helpful. So I think we're starting to kind of see a theme here. When people are surveyed, they're like, yeah, I liked it, and it worked. One of the really cool clients that we work with, the California Department of Public Health, I'm sure you're aware of them, right?
Our boss.
Yeah. So we work with them on quite a few different campaigns. One of the ones that I thought was interesting, at least for this presentation today, is their Stop H1N1 campaign that happened throughout the state. It was a statewide program. And calls to action are any of the banners that you see where it says text in health to 12345, or there's a keyword to a short code. So when we say that's a call to action, it's just asking somebody to take that first action to opt into the program. So these calls to action included ads on billboards, public transit. There's a lot of social media push that they did with this. And the majority of the participants were the hard-to-reach population. So they were around 18 to 26-year-olds. California thought, okay, that's the toughest one to get vaccinated, so let's try to target and focus that. And so one of the quotes that we got from the client is that she said, we're reaching out to an age group that typically doesn't get vaccinated. We're increasing vaccine awareness through texting and social networking. So it was a really nice fit. Some results, over 1,000 people texted in within the first 3 days, which is really, really incredible. And nearly 4,000 Californians texted in over a three-month period. So that was 4,000 more people that probably wouldn't have gotten vaccinated. And then 50% of the people that were part of our original opt-in, so that 4,000 number, responded to a text message survey that came after the initial vaccination alert. So basically what happened is you would text your zip code, and they would send you the closest location where you could go get vaccinated for free. And then after, you know, a few weeks, they would remind you, did you in fact get vaccinated, yes or no? And then you would get a survey, right? So that's basically how it worked. And so 50% of the people responded. There was no incentive. There was no iTunes gift card. People just want to be heard, right? So they responded to the survey. And then 33% of those people received the flu shot at the location. 40% said that they still planned on getting a flu shot. For that 40%, they were then sent reminders to get vaccinated over the course of a few weeks after. And then 17% of that 50% said they received a flu shot in another location. The last one I'm going to talk about is HIV care. A 2014 meta-analysis of 8 studies on text messaging interventions designed to promote ART therapy found that these interventions with text messaging yielded significantly at higher adherence than the control groups. And so the studies that had larger effects were not sent daily, so that's something that was an interesting finding. And they supported this two-way communication. So remember how I said people were just texting back or yes, no, kind of a thing? That was definitely much more effective. And then personalized content again, right? We're seeing this theme. And then the interventions were also associated with improved viral load. And the case study, we actually have two. The first is New York Presbyterian, Columbia University, and Harlem Health runs a program that's been going on for about 5 or 6 years called Project Stay. And it's just a fantastic once-a-day medication reminder for ART therapies for young adults 13 to 24. And so this is another study where viral loads just dropped. It was unbelievable just due to the text messages. And then I just wanted to show you this. There wasn't really any outcomes. The New York City Department of Health runs an amazing program called Care NYC. If you ever go to New York, you'll see these calls to action all over the city. And basically what it does, it's an all-encompassing program that not only reminds people of medication and appointment, it'll search for a provider, it'll send you to support groups, workshops, things like that. So it's a really great supportive program. Appointment and medication reminders, I'm running out of time, but basically, you know, just as effective compared to anything else. This is JMIR, it's a Journal of Medical Internet Research. They have a lot of really good stuff. This is an appointment no-show, so Blood Systems is a nonprofit. Basically, they switched everyone from phone calls to texts, and they found that people were 57% more likely to respond. And I'm going to cruise through this. If anybody wants to see the prenatal and postpartum, I don't want to be rude to my next presenter. So let's just go over the summary, right? Consumers are asking for it. This is the preferred method of communication here in the United States. It reaches the widest population down to the most targeted population. So you can think of it as all-encompassing. The studies show that it works, right? It's not just me standing up here saying. All the data really does back up and support it. And just so you guys are aware, every type of healthcare organization is using text messaging, right? It's definitely something that is not specific to one particular type of organization. And personalization is key. So if you do decide to do this, make sure you're doing something that feels really personalized. Thank you.